Sherlock Holmes, in one of the classic tales, detective stories by Conan Doyle, once said to his sidekick, Dr. Watson, he said, "You see, but you do not observe. You see, but you really don't see. You don't observe." Observation is the act, the power or habit of seeing and noting through careful notice, to watch closely, to look intently, to give full attention to what one sees. The story is told of a company commander and his first sergeant who were asleep out in the field. The first sergeant woke up in the middle of the night and he said, "Sir, look up and tell me what you see." The CO was sleepily looked up, opened his eyes, and he said, I see millions of stars." The first sergeant said, "And what does that exactly tell you, sir?" The CO said, "Well, astronomically, that tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. It tells me theologically that God is great and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it tells me that we are going to have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you?" The first sergeant said, "Well, sir, it tells me that somebody stole our tent." You see, the CO, the commanding officer, he saw, but he didn't observe. When you see, do you observe? Do you really see? This morning, I want you to put your Sherlock Holmes detective cap on. I want you to pick up your magnifying glass. And I want you with me to return to the scene, not the scene of a crime, the scene of the greatest event that ever took place in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want us this morning to travel back to the graveyard where Jesus Christ, his body was laid after he died on the cross. If you have your Bibles this morning, you might open them up to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. It's in that chapter that the Apostle John records eyewitness accounts of several people that were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I read through this chapter a couple months ago. I was reading through the Bible and I came to this chapter and I read through, and I believe at that time God said, you're gonna preach this on Easter Sunday. And I saw something as I read through this chapter. I noted that the words see and saw and have seen, all the words around this verb to see, were mentioned 10 times in this chapter. And I realized what John was doing, he was recording eyewitness accounts of what happened on that first Easter. And it amazed me as I looked at this. And then I looked a little deeper and I saw something else. I saw that in the original language, in the Greek, there were three words translated to see. And it's very interesting. Before we get into this, there were three levels of seeing. You can see with your eyes, your physical eyes. You can see objects, things, people. I mean, if you looked out the window, not while I'm preaching, but if you looked out the window, you could see maybe a car going by. Or you could see the fire department out there. Some of you are looking. Back to this way. Come on. That's seeing with your physical eye. But there's a deeper level of seeing. Because you can see and understand intellectually with your mind. You know, we use the word see in English like that, don't we? We say, now I see. And what we mean by that is what? I get it. Now I understand. I understand now. See, that's a deeper level. But you know, there's even a deeper level than that. And that's the level when you see something and you not only perceive it with your mind, but you perceive it spiritually. You understand the spiritual significance of what you're seeing. You see? Hey, we might call that seeing, the seeing or sight of faith. When you really see and something and you, I know what that means spiritually. And in this text this morning, there's a number of eyewitnesses, and every one of these levels of sight are recorded in this text. So this morning, here's what I want to do with you. I want to go back and we want to investigate. We want to, again, be a detective. And we're going to look at each one of these eyewitnesses and ask three questions. Who was the eyewitness? What did they see? And how did they respond? Okay? That's what we're going to do. You have an outline in your bulletin if you want to take some notes. So eyewitness number one is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene and also some other women that were with her. Now, that's in verses 1 and 2. And she is the only one mentioned by name. So let's ask, who was she? Well, she was a follower of Jesus Christ from Galilee, who had a horrible past. You remember, if you've read in Luke or Mark, this lady at one time had 7 demons in her life. I mean, she was under attack by the enemy. She had spiritual problems. She had 7 demons. But then she met Jesus Christ. And Jesus delivered her from that demon possession. He cast out the demons. And Mary became a follower of Jesus. And how she loved the Lord. You know, you can tell how much she loved him because she was with the women. She was last at the cross and first at the tomb. That's how much she loved the Lord. She loved him. And it says here that on that first resurrection Sunday, she came to the tomb. She came to the tomb. She came with some other women, and I'll show you that in a minute. But the other Gospels tell us why they came. They came that first Easter Sunday bringing spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They came expecting to find a dead Jesus. And as they walked along the way, they spoke of an anticipated problem. They said, you know, we're going to anoint his body, but who's going to move the stone? You see, they had rolled a tremendously large stone in front of the entrance of the tomb where they laid the body of Jesus. And they said, you know, we want to anoint his body, but who's going to move the stone? No wonder they were anticipating that, because the estimates of how much that stone weighed are 1.5 to 2 tons. That's the weight of a mid-sized car. Who's going to move the stone for us, they said. But then they came to the tomb, and what they found at the tomb, what did they see? In verse 1, it says, it was still dark, and She saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. Now, let me tell you what they saw. They didn't see the tomb, and the stone had, there's a crack there, and a little crack where the stone had been rolled away a little bit. What they saw was that the stone had been picked up and moved away from the tomb. That's what that word means, taken away from the tomb. It means to pick up and actually remove from the site. They saw the stone was already taken away. Now, from this account, did they look in? Did they look in? We don't know. There are a number of different times women came to the tomb. If you read the other Gospels, did they go up and look in and see that the body was gone? We don't know. But they did see this stone had been taken away. They saw. You know what? She saw with her eyes. She saw physically that stone was removed. So what did she do? What was her response? She ran with the other women to Peter and to the apostle whom Jesus loved. That's John. And she said to them in verse 2, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." I don't know who they, I think she was probably referring to the enemies of Jesus, the religious leaders. But you know what she did, folks? She saw the stone rolled away and she assumed that somebody had stolen the body. You see, she didn't perceive. She didn't see. She didn't intellectually understand. She didn't spiritually understand what had happened. She just saw with her eyes. She said, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where he is." She still thought Jesus was dead. Now there's some more eyewitnesses, second eyewitness, were Peter and John. She had gone to Peter and John. Now who were they? Well, Peter and John were former fishermen that the Lord Jesus had called to be his disciples. And they were part of Jesus' band of disciples. In fact, they were two of the Lord's closest disciples, two of the members of his inner group. Peter, you remember, was the leader of the apostolic band. He was the leader of the disciples. Wherever you find the 12 disciples listed in the Gospels, Peter is always at the top of the list because he was the leader. But he had, just a few days before, even though he had boasted, "You know, Lord Jesus, I will follow you to death," he had denied the Lord three times. He denied that he even knew Christ. That's Peter. John was the one who loved the Lord. John was the only disciple, by the way, that we know of that was at the foot of the cross, that watched Jesus die. John was the only disciple. And Mary comes to them and says, "They've taken the body. The body's gone." And so what did they do? What did they do? They ran, it says, to the tomb. And if tradition is correct, John was the youngest of the disciples. And Peter was probably much older than he. And although they started out together, John outran Peter and got there first. It'd be kind of like if I was running to the tomb and Jimmy, stand up. Where's Carl? Carl, stand up. If I was running to the tomb and Jimmy and Carl were running and I outran them, because I'm a lot younger than that, you can sit on now. It's kind of like that, you know? I mean, Peter was older and John, but John got there. And what did John do? He stopped when he got to the tomb. And he looked in. And he looked in. And then Peter comes up and he's huffing and puffing. He gets there. Well, what did they see? What did they see? When John peeked in, what did he see? You see what it says in verse 5? Stooping, And looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he didn't go in. And then Peter comes up and he runs up and he's huffing and puffing and he gets there and in Peter style, impetuously, impulsively, he breaks into the tomb and he goes inside. And what did he see? You see what he saw? Verse 8. In verse 7, he entered, he saw, 6 and 7, he saw the linen wrappings lying there. And the face cloth that had been over the face of the Lord Jesus, it was folded up neatly and put it to the side. Now, detectives, now look at this. Look at the scene there. Folks, what this is describing, this is not the scene of a grave robbery. If somebody came to steal the body of Jesus, you know what they would have done? They would have grabbed the body, wrappings and all, and taken off. Or if they decided to unwrap the body, they would have unwrapped it and thrown them off and tried to get whatever was valuable. They would do that back that time. And take off. That's not what they found. You know, when the Jews would bury a dead person, they would wrap that dead person, kind of like a mummy. They would wrap them in cloths. And in between the layers of cloth, they would put spices and different incense. And that would kind of seal, help to seal that cloth, help to seal the body in. And the emphasis in the text is, they saw these linen wrappings. You know what they saw? They saw the linen wrappings still wrapped up in cocoon-like fashion. As though, and there was no body in it. As though that body had just stood right up and gone right through those linen wrappings. It was an empty cocoon. Now, folks, that's not what it would look like if somebody robbed the grave. And if somebody wanted to tear off that face cloth, they wouldn't fold it neatly and put it to the side. They'd just take it off. What they saw, they looked. John came in, and he looked. And you know what? Look at verse 8. When John, the other disciple who had first come to the tomb, when he entered, he saw, and guess what happened? The light went on. Oh! He believed. He saw, but he just didn't understand intellectually. He perceived spiritually. He's alive. He's alive. You see, the next verse says, up until this time, as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. See, they didn't come to the tomb thinking, well, you know, the Bible says that he's going to rise from the dead, so we're not even going to find him because he's risen. They didn't understand. They didn't understand Psalm 16 that said that God would not abandon his soul to Sheol, nor would he let his Holy One undergo decay. He was going to raise up the Messiah. They didn't understand Isaiah 53 that said that after he was cut off out of the land of the living, that God would prolong his days. They didn't understand that. But when John saw those burial clothes, when John saw that napkin neatly folded, the light went on. Ah! He's alive. Peter? Doesn't say anything about Peter. I don't think Peter got it yet. He said, what is this? I don't understand. And it says they both went home. John got it and he believed. Witness number three. Is Mary Magdalene by herself in verses 11 through 18. You know, we've already met Mary. She now returns to the grave, to the tomb. And in verse 11, if you look there, she's standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped down and looked inside. Now it's interesting what it says she saw. It says in verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting, and white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. I want you to think about this. She saw two angels. You know, usually in the Bible, when people see angels, I mean, they're blown away. They're, you know, it's something to see one of the angels of God. I mean, they're afraid. But you know what? I read this and I was amazed that Mary, it just didn't seem to really faze her too much. And then when I thought, you know, if you spent a lot of time with Jesus, if you really knew Jesus, if we really spent time with Jesus, you know, angels are unimpressive next to Jesus. And so she looks in and the angels ask her a question. They say, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? And she says, because they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they laid him. And when she said this, I don't know what happened. Maybe she heard something behind her. But she turned around and it says, do you see what it says there in verse 14? She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She saw Jesus standing there. And she did not know it was Jesus. Isn't that something? She saw, but she didn't see. She saw. She turned around. She saw Jesus, but she didn't see. She didn't know who he was. She, in fact, it says, I know, why didn't she see? Why didn't she see? You know, maybe Jesus had his head, the head covering on, and maybe over his face he put part of that head covering. Maybe it was early in the morning and the sun was behind him and she just saw the figure standing there. Maybe her tears, something, clouded her eyes. You know, sorrow, depression can affect our vision. Maybe in his resurrection body, he had changed. But she didn't, she saw, but she didn't perceive who it was. Her initial response, she supposed him to be the gardener. I mean, who else would be in the garden that early in the morning? You know, nobody else is going to get up. Must be the gardener. So she says to him, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. You know what? At this point, Mary doesn't, she still doesn't get it. She's still in the dark. She's still thinking what? Jesus is dead. And then she says that, and she turns back and looks in the tomb. But her further response, Jesus says one word. Only took one word, right? What was it? Mary. Mary, you know, the good shepherd knows his sheep and he calls them all by name. You're sheep of the Lord, he knows your name. He said, Mary. And there was something in the way that he said her name. Guess what? Light went on. Rabboni! Jesus! You're alive! Now she really saw. And you know what she did? She grabbed him. I don't know if she just grabbed him like this or she fell at his feet and grabbed his feet. She wasn't going to let him go. You know what Jesus said? Mary, stop clinging to me. I have not ascended yet to the Father, but go and tell my brethren that I go to my Father and their Father, and my God and their God. Go tell them, Mary. And Mary, the light's on now. So she obeys the Lord and she runs again. She gets to the disciples, and you know what she says? He's alive! The Lord's alive! I've seen him! I've seen the Lord! I've seen the Lord! Kept on saying that over and over again. That's what she did. And she said, here's what he's told me. I'm going to tell you, folks, she saw, but she didn't see. But when he said her name, she really saw. And she spiritually perceived that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Eyewitness number four, in verses 19 through 23, the disciples. The disciples. Now again, who were the disciples? They were all followers of Jesus. We often think of the 12 disciples of Christ or the apostles, but these disciples were the original 12 minus Judas, because Judas, you remember, had betrayed the Lord and gone out and committed suicide. He wasn't here. Minus Thomas. And we don't know why, but Thomas missed that service on the first Easter Sunday evening. He wasn't there. And there were a couple of other disciples there, the two Emmaus Road disciples of Luke 24. They were also there in that room that night. Verse 19 tells us it was the evening of the same day. The disciples were gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood in their midst. Now, what was their initial response? Now, we're not specifically told in this text. We are told in other texts. When they first saw Jesus that night, they were blown away. They were frightened out of their skulls. They initially saw Jesus and they thought they were seeing what? A ghost. I mean, they were frightened. They thought it was a spirit. They were frightened. That's why Jesus said, peace, shalom be with you. Because they needed it. Their initial response was they thought they were seeing a ghost. But their further response, it says that Jesus then did something. He showed them his hands and he showed them his side. He showed them the hands and the nail scars that went through those hands. And he showed him his side where that Roman spear had pierced his side. And when the disciples saw, you hear this? When they saw. You see, when they first saw him, they didn't understand. They saw him with their eyes. They thought he was a ghost. But when he showed him his hands and his side, it says in verse 20, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. The light went on. He's alive. He's alive. This is really Jesus. This is Jesus Christ. He's alive. This is no fake Jesus. This is no ghost. This is the bodily resurrected Jesus Christ. The light went on. You see, they not only saw him with their eyes, they not only intellectually began to understand, they spiritually perceived the resurrection of Jesus. And when they did, they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. This is John chapter 20, verse 20. John 20, 20. You talk about 2020 vision. Oh, we see him. He's the Lord. He's alive. That's spiritual 2020 vision. And their reaction, Their reaction is the only reaction that they could have. They were filled with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. And folks, if you and I perceive the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, we will go out of this place today. I'll tell you, walking on air. We will have so much joy in our life, joy that the world can't give, but it comes by knowing a resurrected Savior. Jesus goes on, by the way, to give them a commission. He says to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." You see, our commission is based on His mission. In fact, our mission comes out of His mission, because He came, because He died on the cross for our sins, because He took the sin of the world upon Himself and suffered the punishment which we deserve. And because He walked out of the grave, now we have a mission. And our mission as Christians is to tell other people so that they can enter into the love of God and the life which Jesus can give. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. But then He gives them the power for the mission. The power for the mission. The next verse says, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" You see, they needed power to do this. They needed power to carry out the mission. And so He breathed on them. This is a foretaste of what He would do 50 days later when He would send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to come and empower the church. "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," He tells them. Folks, and when they received the Holy Spirit, they were obedient to take the message of salvation and a risen Savior to a lost world. In fact, folks, they believed this so much. They believed this message. They believed that Jesus had risen from the dead so much. They saw Him. They saw His hands. They saw His side. That every one of these men went to a martyr's death proclaiming a resurrected Christ. Every one of them gave their life and said, "Jesus has risen from the dead." You see, folks, they were convinced that this was no hoax, this was no fake sighting, this was no fake Jesus. They saw it with their own eyes. They understood. They began to understand intellectually the scripture. Oh, yeah. Well, when He was with us, He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Oh, He was talking about His body. Oh, now we see. And they saw it spiritually. Now, folks, I'll tell you what. That's 20/20 vision. Oh, that we would have that vision. See the resurrected Christ. Eyewitness number 5. And I guess I'm thankful for this eyewitness. His name is Thomas. And who was he? He was one of the original 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus, who was not present on that first Easter Sunday evening. We're not told why he wasn't present, but he wasn't there. He's called Didymus. He was a twin. And he was of a more skeptical nature. Now, we are not told in the Bible where he was from, but I think I know. He was from Missouri, the show me state. He was the kind of person that, you know, you couldn't pull the wool over in his eyes. He, you know, they kept on telling, verse 25, you see verse 25? They came to him, they found Thomas, they said, "We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord." All of them, all the ones that were, "We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord." Over and over again, they were telling him. And he's like, yeah, sure. His initial response was skepticism. "You're not going to pull the wool over on my eyes." unless I see the nail prints in his hand. Now let's go a little further than that. Unless I put my finger in that nail print, and unless I put my hand in that side, you're not fooling me. I've heard of these Elvis sightings. You ain't fooling me. He didn't, I don't need just visual proof. I want tactile proof. I don't know if there's a touch me state. But wherever, he wanted visual evidence. He wanted tactile evidence. And so, the next Sunday evening, they gathered together. The disciples were there, and Thomas showed up. Now, I want to tell you what I think happened. It might not have happened this way, but this is the way I view it happening. I think they were kind of sitting maybe in a circle, and they were maybe praying and everything. And it says the doors were locked. And guess who showed up? Jesus comes. Now, here's how I kind of picture it. They're sitting there, and they're all in this circle, and they're praying and everything. And Jesus walks in. I think he walked in behind Thomas. That's how I picture it. He walks in behind, and all of the other disciples see Jesus, and they go. And they're not saying anything. And Thomas is looking around. What's going on? What's happening? Come on, what's going on here? What's going on? And they're... And Jesus walks over. Close enough to Thomas that Thomas could reach out his finger. Close enough to be touched. And he says, Thomas, reach here your finger. Put it in my hand. Reach here your hand. Thomas, put it in my side. And don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas, how do you think he felt then? Kind of blown away? And what did he do? Hit the deck. Now, it doesn't say that in Scripture. This is how I picture it. He hit the deck, and he makes one of the greatest theological statements in Scripture. You see, when he saw Jesus, it doesn't even say he touched him. He saw him. And you know what? The light went on. You know what? Ordinary people, no ordinary person walks out of the tomb. No ordinary person taken in dead into a funeral home walks out that door. The light went on. You're the Lord. You're God. He saw. He saw. Now, folks, how's our vision? How's our vision today? You see, Thomas saw. He believed so much in the resurrected Christ that for the rest of his life, he went out and he preached. He preached Jesus in the resurrection. In fact, he went out as far as all the way to India, and he died a martyr's death in India, proclaiming the resurrected Christ. How's our vision? You know what Jesus said? He said to Thomas, because you have seen me, have you believed? Listen to this next part. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Who's that? Folks, that's us. I have never seen with my eyes Jesus. I've seen pictures. That's men's rendition of Jesus. I don't think he looked like that at all, most of them anyhow. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. But I've seen him. I've seen him with the eyes of my heart. I've seen him by faith. And he said, you know, you see me. Have you ever wished, I wish I could be back there and see Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that saw Jesus and never came to him. Never came to faith. It was nothing to look at. He had no majesty or any great form that we should look on him and be impressed. A lot of people saw him and didn't come to him. But you know what? Blessed are you who have not seen and yet you see with your heart. Now see, folks, how's your vision? Let me just ask, I'm going to finish here, but have you seen Jesus upon the cross? Now, I'm not talking about physically seeing, but you understand, do you see him with your eyes of faith hanging on that cross, taking your sin upon himself and dying for you? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? I mean, do you really understand intellectually, but more than that, spiritually, what that means? You know, John is the only one that really saw him of the disciples. And over in chapter 19, verse 35, after he saw Jesus die on the cross, he said this, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe also." He saw it with his real physical eyes, but he knew what Jesus did. Have you seen it? Do you believe that Christ died on that cross? He hung there for you and gave his life for you. Do you see it? Do you see further than that? Christ walking out of the tomb. You know what the resurrection is? It's a receipt. You know, when you go to the store and you buy something, they give you a receipt. What does that prove? You paid for it. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's receipt that he accepted the work on Calvary's cross as full payment for our sins. And he raised him up and declared him with power to be the Son of God. Do you see it? Do you see it? Thomas, have you seen me and you believe? Blessed are they who have not seen and yet they do see. They do see. They understand. They believe. And John says, you know, there's a lot of other things that I could write. I mean, if we'd write everything about Jesus, all the books in all the world couldn't contain it. But these things I've written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing, you will have life in his name. How's your sight? Are you 20/20? Have you seen Christ on the cross, dying for your sin? Have you seen him come out of the grave alive, conquering death, conquering the grave? He is the resurrection and the life. Have you seen him? And he did it all for you and for me. Have you believed? It's all written, eyewitness testimonies, all written that we might believe and be saved. Let's bow our heads.